It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we're all getting our arms around this name, image, and likeness, and how can college people use it to their advantage. And now you're getting comparisons market to market as to how it works and where you can profit the most, and it's becoming a huge piece of recruiting and building your programs, athletic programs. But there's a lot that we don't know about it as well. I've known Derek Burns since he was in high school, and then he went on to play for the Golden Gophers and Glenn Mason and bowl games and everything else. And a successful career since then. He is now involved in, to an extent, the NIL world, leaving one company. They sold it, and they moved on. It's a great story to tell that way, but also to give us some clarification on what's going on out there, specifically as it pertains to this marketplace. He joins us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Derek, always good to visit with you. Caught up with you this afternoon. Hadn't talked to you in many years. It was great to visit with you.
It's been too long, Mike. Yeah. I appreciate you having me on, and it's good to be talking with you again.
Yeah, now explain, you had a great career for the Gophers, and then you went into, you got into the computer game a little bit, right?
Yeah, I worked at a technology company, myself and my colleague Rob Gagg, who's also partnered with me on this NIL collective. We worked together for 20 years and right here in the Twin Cities, and we sold the company about a year ago, and our intention was to take a break, but that didn't last too long. This opportunity came up and got partnered with a group of passionate fans, and we're excited to try and get something off the ground to support the student athletes right here.
So explain what it is and we're on the ground floor of and what you're doing.
Right. So about a year ago, the Supreme Court decided that to allow college athletes to benefit from their name, image, and likeness. So that includes the exposure, the visibility, the revenue, and things like that. So this has opened a door for college athletes to not be paid to attend a university, not be paid to play athletics at a university, despite that maybe being the perception and some of the things happening down south and the way it's being treated down there. What the ruling says is that this will allow players to be able to earn money through things like running camps, having apparel sponsors, attaching their names to causes and things like that, and being able to raise awareness for things. And so they can benefit from that and use their platform and be compensated for it, you know, through money and through, you know, increased exposure and visibility.
And so, you know, we're getting our arms around this, and you guys put together the platform for this new company. What can you do? How do you function?
Yep. So the universities themselves are not allowed. They have to be arm's length from this. So they can't be part of any of these deals or, you know, be a part of these negotiations or things like that. So collectives, which is what this organization is, have sprouted up as a means to support these student athletes. So what we're able to do is basically help create opportunities for the current student athletes at the University of Minnesota to partner with fan organizations, businesses, be a part of sponsorships and things like that. Again, the emphasis here is for them to be able to earn money in a way that they haven't been able to in the past. So we'll do things, you know, launching this fall, we'll do things like we're going to offer fan memberships, we're going to offer corporate sponsorships, and those fans and corporations will be able to partner with the athletes on, you know, things like meet and greets and autograph signings and events, and be a part of, you know, maybe charity fundraisers and appear in, you know, commercials or billboard advertising and things like that. Things we've seen from, you know, the pro market for a long time, but this is now available for college athletes.
Okay, so you also have to coach the college athletes to an extent as we get going here, certainly, because we're all hearing all these big numbers and these facts and blah, blah, blah. And it's true that there's big numbers out there, but the big numbers, as I've studied it, are for a very select few.
Right.
And you have to really be careful if you're a college athlete to think, well, I heard, you know, that guy got $1 million, so I'm at least worth $100,000. Well, it doesn't work that way. It's not, at least it's not working that way. Explain that piece of it as you try to coach the kids as well, because they don't know, you know, they don't know a lot about what's going on either.
Exactly. This is also new. This rule was changed a year ago, and really for the first 6 months, not much happened. It's just really in the last 6 months that things have taken off. But you're exactly right. I'm glad you brought it up. One of the biggest, or if not the biggest, misconceptions right now as we sit with NIL is that what you're reading about and hearing are the top 4%, the top 4% of NIL-valued athletes, be that high school graduates or transfers, that are supposedly getting these. I am also skeptical about the follow through and the details in some of these big deals, but that's what's making the headlines. A quarterback in Tennessee is going to get $1 million to do something with a school down there. That is not stratifying down as we speak now. So you're right. It's a learning curve for the athletes and the fans and the sponsors to understand that just because the number two recruit in the country is attending a university and is able to get a sponsorship deal that's in the six-figure range does not mean that a recruit, you know, down the list is going to get $50,000 or $100,000 or $75,000. It's not stratifying down. It's really been the top 4% that have garnered a lot of supposedly a lot of these big deals so far.
So, Derek, one of the things that I hear is, you know, one of the primary ways that kids are getting into this is through being influencers in the social media market and yep. figuring that out. And it kind of puts the ball in their court then, right? I mean, if you're creative, yep. if you're smart, if you know how to do it, companies are looking for you. And if you're an athlete, you can yep. take advantage of that. But yeah, is that kind of been the primary where they're going to first? Mm-hmm. Saying, hey, if these kids want to be creative and go do something for us, we'll work with them.
Yeah, that's been the most straightforward. It's the most accessible. Look, almost every business or organization in America wants to access a network of young
yep.
fans.
The young demographic, because they can keep them right. for 30 years if they get them right. Yeah?
Right. So if you can partner with, you know, for example, a gymnast who has 10,000 followers on Instagram or yep. a basketball player who has, you know, 50,000 followers on social media, that is your way. That's a very hard market, an expensive market to penetrate through regular means. But if you partner with a college athlete, have them endorse a product or partner with you as a business and have them get behind you and tell their followers, hey, support, hey, go for fans, support my friends at, you know, local community bank X or, you know, company Y. That's a really good reach for that company to be able to access.
And you know, when the other piece of Minnesota, I'm anxious to get your take on this, but let's just say you want to sell, some car dealer wants somebody on the billboard. Well, you know, they're not just going to go to the University of Minnesota. They're going to compare mm-hmm. that to Kirk Cousins, to Adam Thielen, right. to, you named the athlete out there, Carl Anthony Towns, Carlos mm-hmm. Correa, whoever it is. So the market here is a crowded market that way when it gets yeah. down. And if you're doing a favor, that's one thing, or it's kind of a donation, but when it's business against business and you're trying to make profit off it, it becomes real competitive real quick, doesn't it?
It does, and I would say, I would agree with you and say that per capita, I believe the Twin Cities is the most crowded sports market in the country. Yeah. I mean, there are other markets that have more teams, but they're a lot bigger population-wise. So there's no doubt that this market is incredibly noisy and incredibly competitive and you know, full of different options for fans to pay attention to. But I would say that one of the advantages that athletes at the University of Minnesota present here is that they are going to be more approachable from a monetary standpoint than some of these other entities. You know, if you want to partner with a professional organization or professional athlete or some of these other options in a big way, first of all, you're limited on your options. Many of those things are under contract. They already have the leagues negotiate the contracts and decide in some cases who players can and can't work with. They have to sort of sign off on that. The other thing is it's a very high entry point money-wise. So again, using the example of if you're a local community bank or you're a local business, you may not be able to partner with a large media entity on a six or seven figure ad buy, but you might be able to partner with a group of student athletes on one of these teams and have them support your business or be an ambassador for your business, and it would be financially attractive to do that.
We hear some about alignments within teams where, you know, you can bring us all out and all those things and the football team, things like that. Is that a piece of this right now where you can get all four of us to come? Are they partnering within?
Say that again.
So like, I've heard, like, the Gopher football, like the six-year seniors could call themselves, trademark themselves something, and then try to use that as a way to get some NIL money going. Are the kids getting creative that way?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, these young adults are creative is the word. So they are, I mean, it's effectively they're owning their own business now, and however they can be creative and find creative ways to do that. You know, we've met with a couple individuals recently who are into graphic design. They're designing their own logos. They're creating their own T-shirts. So rebranding themselves is a good way of putting it. Whether it be with a group of teammates, a class of teammates, a group of individuals, what have you. I mean, they kind of have this entrepreneurial spirit. And again, with the market being really young and new, it's kind of fun. You know, it's fun for these players to figure out what works and what doesn't and find out where they can. And I'll just tell you, after working with some of these young adults, it is not just about the money. They're very excited to be a part of a business, you know, environment, and to be able to experiment and to be able to increase visibility and exposure. You know, these young people, they want to get exposure on social media. They want reach and things like that. So it's not just the money. They're excited to be a part of this and part of something brand new.
And maybe that would be the great takeaway, right? It's not how much they make, whether it's the university or wherever it is,
right?
But going forward, they're going to go, hey, I'm so much more ready for the job market now than I ever would have been because I've already been thinking creatively and about money.
Well, this is what the teams and the organization or the schools, particularly the ones down south that are going with a pay for play model where they are finding ways to just get money to the athletes for doing as little as possible. Not only is that really not compliant and within NCAA rules, but you're building no value. You're trying to buy a championship team by trying to attract, you know, these young adults and saying, we'll give you X amount of money and you don't have to do anything for it. You're not building any value. And oh, by the way, what's going to happen when you don't win a championship? Are these boosters and people going to ante up and continue to do that year over year? That's an open question. But you're right. It's the value that you build through this NIL platform in addition to the money. It's the value and the things that you're doing with this opportunity that are going to be long lasting. I will sit here right now and tell you, I guarantee you that one or more of these partnerships that these athletes make with these corporate sponsors will end up being their job post-career. They will get to know people at these businesses, and guess what? They're going to end up working because the businesses are going to get to know the athletes, and they're going to say, this is a great individual. We want them to work for our company when they're done.
Yeah, plus the one-offs are, you know, that they meet somebody from a company that moves to a different company that remembers them. All that networking comes into play.
Right.
Now, what scares you the most about this? And maybe, I don't know, it might not be as much at the University of Minnesota, but I think about that million-dollar quarterback that shows up as a freshman and gets beat out by the fourth game of the year. What scares you the most as you look at the NIL in total?
Well, I think there are some rough waters ahead in the near term. I think what's scary is it's kind of, people have used the term wild, wild west right now. Without going into a really long explanation, the NCAA has been fairly hands-off at regulating this or enforcing this because, you know, there are some antitrust concerns with limiting an individual's ability to earn money. And so there are those that see this as a free runway. And there are people that are going wild. And again, I question the sustainability of that long term, but near term, it's going to be rough. And, you know, these coaches are feeling it right now because, you know, they may lose an individual to someone who's waiving, you know, an attractive offer, which again, may or may not be followed through on, but drawing, you know, these young individuals away for, you know, maybe the wrong reasons perhaps. And that's scary. I mean, ultimately, you want a good experience for that individual. Earning some money is okay, but you want to take care of that individual and have them grow in the time that you're there. You know, we both know the statistics. 99%+ of these individuals are never going to make a dollar on their athletic prowess at a pro level. So the overwhelming majority of them are not going to go pro. And so, you know, earning a little bit of money is good, but coming away with some of those other benefits and being able to grow in those areas is just as important.
Yeah. And by the way, I tell you where you can make some money if you go to Eden Prairie. They got four linebackers in the NFL right now, Derrickson, Eden Prairie. Can you believe that? That's got to be most no high school could have four linebackers in the NFL, could they?
Yeah, that's I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think so. Mike's got a tremendous, you know.
And you were the start of it, buddy. There. You and Jay Foreman.
It's funny. It's you know, you do mention Eden Prairie, and people kind of roll their eyes, and they're kind of tired of Eden Prairie winning. But it wasn't always like that, you know. Yeah. Before you know, we got started at Eden Prairie, there was a lot of. Literally a lot of prairie out there, and there wasn't a lot of football wins, so it wasn't always like that.
Well, you got it going. Hey, we'll be in touch with you on this. It's just a fascinating topic to discuss and to educate people on. But I it's great to reconnect with you, Derek, and we'll do it again soon.
Sounds great. Thank you, Mike. Good to catch up.
You too. Derek Burns, nice to join him. I go way back with him and his family. It's just great to talk to him again.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.